The Oracle Network. Well, hey there, friends, and welcome back. I'm your host, Melanie Peterson, and for today's episode, I am joined by Jolene Moreno. As you may or may not know, she was involved in a pretty horrific car accident in November of 2019 when the car that she and her fiancé Rob were in was rear-ended by another car going well over the posted speed limit of 65 miles per hour. The estimated speed at the time of impact is thought to be somewhere in the 90 miles per hour range. The after effects of this crash have been devastating to Jolene, her fiancé, and her children, both physically and emotionally. But despite being faced by all these challenges with the adversity of not being able to go back to her job due to the injuries that she sustained from the accident, she has found a way to channel her experience, channeling her creativity into a positive outcome, creating both her podcast as well as her business, Moms Always Right Media Incorporated, where she shares her unfiltered thoughts on daily life in her blog, also by the same name. So this is my conversation with Jolene about her experience since the accident and where life has taken her until now. Buckle up, my friends. This one is going to be a bumpy ride. This is Mask of Sanity. I just kind of want to open it up to you for you to talk about your experience and what you've been dealing with, what anything that you're comfortable talking about with this whole situation. So if you want to, I don't know. Where
I gave you all the case information and stuff. I
had a hard time finding stuff on. I don't know if there's much out there or if it's just not available to the public. Because, like, there aren't even any news articles or anything that I could find about him.
No, he's not in the news.
Yeah.
My situation didn't make it in the news. It was not newsworthy. But, I mean, it is what it is, you know? Yeah. It was important to me. Yeah. I had a Class B license before the accident. I made a whole living driving buses. I drove a school bus at first, and then when I moved here, I did like party buses, transit buses, the paratransit, your dial-a-rides. I was the road supervisor, and that's, you know, Class B license. And then I was driving Uber and Lyft too to make an extra, like a few extra dollars. Sure. California is super expensive. That's the one thing. Like, in New Haven, I had a four-bedroom apartment and was paying $11.75. So, I was working, like, 15-hour days. I was working a lot because that's how I made ends meet. You know, that's how I contributed to my household. Cool. And that's how I provided for my kids. And one night, I went to go get my fiancé. We were sharing a car. I went to go get him. And then next thing you know, it was like, we're trucking along. We're in the slow lane because we both have commercial licenses. Mm-hmm. And, you know, a speeding ticket will, like, basically, it's not good if you have a commercial license.
Right.
I believe. And it depends on how fast you're going, too. We get, people with commercial license get, like, double the points. So if a speeding ticket's 4 points on your license for you, that's 8 points for us.
Wow.
So we were doing 55 in the slow lane. Figured, you know, that's our job. And then we're talking. I just remember we're talking about the wedding and like venues and all that stuff. And I remember the radio playing, and I was singing along with it and dancing around and being completely goofy. And all of a sudden it was like the car was hit and I flew forward. And then it spun and then it hit the wall and I flew forward, then backward. I remember just thinking, oh my God, Rob's in front. He's tall. The steering wheel's there. He is entirely too close to the steering wheel because of how big he is. And I remember reaching my arm around to kind of shield him because I thought the airbag would deploy. I was worried. And when the car hit the wall, the airbag never deployed. And it just kind of scrunched up. Like, you saw the picture of the car. We were trapped in the little, like, dirt bank.
Yeah.
And I remember not being able to get out of the car. Like, the driver's side door wouldn't open at all. And then I was trying to get my door open. And then Rob and I were trying to get out. And then finally, like, we managed to push the door open because I moved. I pulled my legs out of the front and try and like kick the door open so we can get out. And then Rob climbed out of the car, and then the other guy's car was on the whole other side of the highway. Like, you know when like two pool balls hit and they split in opposite directions? That's what our cars did. This dude stumbled across the highway, and I remember he was like crying and he was scared. He's like, oh my God, are you okay? Are you okay? And I could smell the alcohol on him. And Rob jumped out the car and he's like, you could have killed us. And then I was like, come on, just let the police handle him. Let the police handle him. He's trash. You smell the alcohol on him. And then I don't know what happened. I got lightheaded. And then Rob put me down in the back seat, but I was cold.
You're in shock.
And then, probably. If you see the pictures, you'll see me in the back seat of the car. I just remember I felt lightheaded, and then it felt like I couldn't stay vertical. I just felt so dizzy, and then I was cold, like really cold. And Rob put me in the back seat of the car, and we waited, and the ambulance came, and they kept it. They said, are you okay? They just kept shining the lights in my eyes. And they're like, Julian, do you know where you are? There's been an accident. You were hit by a drunk driver. The police are talking to him now. And I just, like, the paramedic was like, he's drunk. He's obviously drunk. I can smell him. He's drunk. And then, he was sitting, and apparently he had buddies in the car. So I heard the police officer talk to him, and he's like, yeah, you know, your buddies took off, right? And then I was cold. I was cold. And then I heard that, and I just got mad. I wasn't cold anymore. Like, my face got hot. And I was so mad. I was like, you could have killed me. I was going off. I was so mad. I said, I have 3 kids I gotta get home to. They took us over to the hospital in Santa Fe Springs. They ran the CT over me. And, you know, they said, so far there's no concussion, no nothing. You're gonna be sore in the morning. I was like, oh, okay, I can imagine. I was jerked around in the car, whatever. And, you know, apparently, according to the police report, he hit us doing like 90 miles an hour. So my car was rear-ended at 90 miles an hour, and it was like twice the impact, because it was him hitting us and then us hitting the wall. Mm-hmm. And then after that, I woke up and my legs were numb. I had to go to the bathroom and I couldn't stand up on my own. My whole body just hurt. And Rob had to carry me to the bathroom. So I didn't go on myself.
How long were you in the hospital?
I was only in the hospital for the night. And then they sent me home. And then when I woke up that morning, I was in so much pain. So I went to the VA. Mm-hmm. And I was seen. I had to use a Halloween prop until the VA could see me, which was embarrassing. It was super embarrassing. And then I was tired all the time. Like, I could not stand to be on my feet. And I ended up getting like a rollator. It's like a walker wheelchair combo. It's like a walker with wheels and a seat. Yep. So I can sit down and push myself around.
Yeah.
And that, I was in that for 8 months. From November till June was a, like, it wasn't even the beginning of June, it was like the end of June. Mm-hmm. And I used to live a very active lifestyle. I used to surf and I wanted to do long distance cycling. It wasn't unusual for me to get on my bike and ride 11 miles to work and 11 miles back. Mm-hmm. I had an old Instagram. I just wanted to delete it. I couldn't stand to look at it because it was all pictures of me, you know, on my way to the gym, coming from the gym, after a bike ride where I pushed in and went another mile, mm-hmm. on my way to the beach, pictures of me on my surfboard. And I never wanted to be indoors. My mom had to beat me into a dress. I love being outside. I like camping and hiking and doing all kinds of stuff. I wanted to do the AT at one point. I wanted to get my triple crown, the AT, the CDT, and the PCT. And then there I was in a rollator. It was like, and I told that lady who does the Babble Babe podcast, mm-hmm. true suffering is being trapped in your own body. All the weight I lost, I gained back. I'm bigger than I've ever been in my life. And I'm still kind of like, I had to relearn how to walk because my right leg sometimes got numb, mm-hmm. and I started, you know, putting more weight on my left leg because it was the stronger one. Mm-hmm. Although, like, if I walked around too long, you know, without the rollator, both my legs would go numb sometimes. So I went into the first procedure in June. I was able to walk on my own. Then I went back in October, then November. The one in November was the most painful procedure because they were injecting. I had 3 discs that ballooned out, and it was pushing on the nerves, mm-hmm. in my legs. So I went in and they did an injection, and then to relieve the pressure, I guess it makes it swell less. I don't know. I went in a second and third time, and that third one, it was so painful. I felt like they were putting more medicine on the third time. It felt like a progression. Mm-hmm. the first time it was like, boop, boop, and it's over. The second time, it was more painful. And then my son's got into a fight 2 days after my procedure. So I jumped up to pull them apart, and then I was in so much pain. I couldn't, I had to stay off my feet. I wasn't even active. And then the third procedure, I was off my feet for a full week because it was just so painful. After that, you know, they said, okay, you can return to physical activity, but I can't lift more than 10 pounds. Mm-hmm. You know, I have to work my way up. And then here I am. I want to lose weight. I got Zumba. I got the MyFitnessPal, little Fitbit. I know I joke around. I was like, yeah, I feel like I got the judgmental Fitbit. When it says, you've been inactive for over an hour, like, I don't know, I'm at work. I was just like, screw you, Fitbit. I know how long I've been sitting here.
So, the procedure was this November. So, it's only been
this November.
6-7 months since. That's not that long, considering how much trauma your back has sustained in that accident. So, I mean,
yeah, the accident happened November 11th, 2019. Mm-hmm. Then I went in for the first procedure in June, mm-hmm. and then that following, the October, and then this past November. And I've been trying to exercise because, again, I'm the biggest I've ever been in my life. Mm-hmm. My uncle needs a kidney. All his immediate family has diabetes. I don't have diabetes, but they won't even test me to see if I'm a match unless I drop 100 pounds. Oh. And that's to say nothing of the property damage, the medical bills. Yeah. I didn't have gap insurance on my Malibu, so the insurance totaled the car. But there's still like $2,000 that I owe. And then because I sometimes can't feel my feet, I can't drive anymore.
This accident has completely changed how you live your life. In every single way.
Yes.
And they just caught this guy recently, is what I'm understanding.
He went on the run. They issued a bench warrant for him. Mm-hmm. He was supposed to appear in court in August. He was supposed to appear in court in August, and they did not find him until recently. It's like he's trying to run out the clock so he doesn't have to answer for this. Mm-hmm.
Wait, so the accident happened in November 2019. His court date wasn't until August?
Yeah.
They had no idea.
Because of COVID.
Had no idea. Well, yeah, because of COVID. But, they had no idea where he was.
Yeah, felony DUI.
Yeah. I don't understand how. I don't know. I'm not law enforcement. I wouldn't presume to know how to handle a situation like that, but it's been almost coming up on a year and a half since the accident.
What happened, they were waiting for his blood work to come back. See, and here's the thing too, this is why I feel like this is old hat for him, because he told them he would like blood. They said breath or urine. He said blood. So they drove him the facility to give blood.
Have his blood drawn?
They got to the facility. He's like, no, I need a hospital. So they had to drive him all the way to the hospital. By then, he hit us at 1:48. They didn't draw his blood till 5 o'clock in the morning, and he was still over the legal limit.
I mean, at least the blood test
got him as being over the legal limit. And you can do a calculation. They know how quickly... They know the half-life of your BAC and how it goes down per hour. So that's a simple calculation. Like, that...
Yeah. He tried it, though.
Tried to run out the time so that he wouldn't be... Yeah.
Which tells me, I feel like he's done this before.
Probably.
He's driven drunk before, been pulled over.
Not the first time he's done that. Not at all. It might have been the first time he got really caught.
I mean, how else would he have known to run the time?
Right. Do you know if he has a prior record?
I don't know anything about this dude.
Oh, okay.
I checked too. I had my case number. The police report from the accident, pictures, dude's name and the address. I don't know if he has a record or anything.
I'm sure the police do. If they have his information, they'd be able to run a check on him.
Yeah.
But I would bet my next paycheck that this is not the first time he's done something like this. But it's a good thing he got caught.
So probably the first time someone got seriously injured.
Probably, unfortunately. But, I mean, thankfully both of you survived. Does Rob have any injuries that he's still dealing with?
He has a shoulder injury because his seatbelt pulled his shoulder back. Okay. My seatbelt didn't because I reached my arm over to protect his face.
Got it. And your car didn't flip, did it? It didn't roll when it was going down the embankment. It just kind of slid. Like bounced.
No,
off.
It spun out.
It spun.
He hit us like this.
Yeah.
He hit us. He went that way. We went this way, and then we spun.
Spun. Okay.
Like, and then smacked into the embankment.
Yeah. You probably have.
It was
crazy whiplash too, from that. I can't even imagine. What did the VA say after they saw you?
They took an MRI and. The accident, I guess, caused degeneration in my discs.
Yep.
And they ballooned out. And then, I don't even, honestly, I read the thing. I'm pretty smart, okay? I read that, and, like, I'm reading that, and I'm like, so does that mean my discs are just going to wither away and die or something? What does that even mean? But, I mean, they cannot both balloon out and wither away.
Right. I mean, one part of your spine might do one thing and one might do the other because your entire spinal column has been severely traumatized. With that amount of trauma... And they said it's degenerative. I hope you guys are planning to sue this dude.
We are. It was just that we couldn't because he was on the run.
Right, but now that he's in custody, I'm assuming he's behind bars somewhere, yes? So he can't run again?
I hope so. Lord, I hope so.
He should be. I mean, if he's already run once, flight risk, he has no business being allowed to be walking around.
Yeah, or bailed out or anything else.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. The amount of damage, like, he took away your livelihood. It's not like you can sit in a car or a bus or anything for 15 hours a day like you were doing. You can't do that. That would be hell for your back.
It's against the law for me to do that anyway because my legs will go numb. If like, the shot wears off, my legs will just go numb.
What you were doing.
Yeah. I mean, I did take that and turn it into what I got now. Mm-hmm. You know, I started my own company. I wrote. I started, you know, I continued to work on my book. Mm-hmm. I produce these podcasts. I have a podcast network. I just took the situation and made the best of it. The only way I knew how.
No, that's brutal.
But I'll, if I can have anything, I would like to be able to, you know, I would like to be able to ride my bike, lose some weight. I went hiking, and that's fun. I've been back to hiking and camping, but I haven't gotten on a bike yet. I don't want to get on the thing and then have it be just something else I can't do anymore.
Right. Have you tried a stationary bike or anything like that, just to see if your body can even just handle being in that position before you, I don't know, like, are you doing or anything like that? Like, I don't even...
I had a recumbent bike, okay. And then I sold it, so I'm gonna pick up the upright bike now. Okay. It's a progression. I tried the recumbent bike, the upright bike, and then the real one.
Okay. So you're working...
I do go to, like, physical therapy, but not since the pandemic. The pandemic has been kind of killing me.
Yeah. And you have this guy's arraignment is...
May 28th.
Are you going there to look this guy in the face and be like, you screwed up my life, and now you're going to pay for it?
I want to be at all the court dates, because... The thing people tend to forget is that these crimes have I'm not a victim. I survived it. So these crimes have survivors. Survivors have faces. We get so caught up in the name of the dude who committed the crime that we forget about the people that they hurt.
The survivors should be the focus. The people that were impacted by these people should be the focus. I agree.
So, I'm going to be at all the court dates. All of them. Because I'm not going to be out of sight, out of mind. Mm-hmm. He did something messed up, and he's going to have to look me in the face. Mm. Every single court date. Every single time. And I don't want him to get a deal. So if that's what the state's looking for, I'm not interested in him getting a deal. I'm interested in him going to prison.
Yeah, I understand.
So I'm going there so they remember that I have a face, I have a name, and I have rights.
Yeah. Do you have anyone representing you, like a lawyer or anything, during all of this?
I do have attorney Robert Smith.
Okay.
I don't know that he would go to his court date.
Probably not. I mean, more to just, like, make sure that the ball gets rolling for you. In case, for some reason, the state does try to cut a deal with this guy, like... He's still able to work on your behalf to get you and Rob what you guys deserve in this situation.
Yes. We have attorney Robert Smith, mm-hmm. and out of Encino, California. And I mean, he's a pretty good lawyer. I use him for my company things, so I'm hoping. And then I got the victim advocate for MAD.
Okay.
And there's a court advocate as well. But the MAD advocate sends me stuff, you know, like she sent me a pamphlet for a spinal injury. She sent me like a whole big thick yellow envelope regarding all the services and stuff, and then she sends me like support groups and, you know, walk for awareness and stuff like that. I mean, it's really simple. If you're driving if you are driving home, don't drink. If you know you plan on drinking, well, I know there's Uber and Lyft. I used to drive it. Or call a friend, have one of your friends be in charge of driving.
Yeah. Designated driver. No, I agree. And unfortunately, I don't understand why drinking and driving is... It's such an issue, and yet it gets overlooked all the time. This is not a new phenomenon. This is something that has been going on for decades, and that yet there are still cases like yours and cases like the one I just covered, John and Katie Palmer. Like, why do these people, innocent people, have to pay the price and continue to suffer for months and years after the fact, when these people made a horribly poor decision and they're either getting away with it completely, or they're not being held accountable, or
they're cutting deals with the state because the prisons are overcrowded. Oh. And, you know, this is considered a minor thing, but it's not. It wasn't minor to me.
No.
My whole life changed.
Yeah.
Everything from the way I like to pass my free time to the way I make my money.
Yeah, yeah. And especially in the last year with the pandemic and everything, like, everybody's financial situation has changed pretty much. And to know that you don't even have that as an option now that things are starting to pick back up.
Oh, yeah, and bus drivers are considered essential workers.
Right.
My fiance worked straight through the pandemic.
Yeah.
That would have been job security for me. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't regret opening my business. I don't. My company is wonderful. It's a great platform for me to raise awareness about mental health and autism awareness and, you know, rage against drunk driving, but still, a little bit of the option to make a little bit of extra money would have been nice.
Sure. I totally get that. What inspired you to start the business aside from trying to channel your energy into something productive instead of focusing on this horrible thing that happened to you? Is there something in your personal life, and you don't have to go into it if you don't want to, just mental health and autism are very specific topics. I was just curious based on
Well, my son was diagnosed with autism like a couple years before I moved here, when my daughter was still little. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know anything about it. And every time I Googled something, some trash would pop up, like, stress during pregnancy causes autism, vaccinations cause autism. And I just didn't think that was cool. So, you know, I had to commit my son to a mental health facility. I called a crisis line. They said they don't know, they don't deal with that sort of thing. So they told me to take him to the hospital. So then I took him to the Yale Children's Hospital up the street from my house at the time. Mm-hmm. And they said they have to commit him to Winchester One because he's harming himself. He's self-harming. So I did that, and I wrote about it. It was in the March or April issue of Vivid Magazine for Autism Awareness Month. And it talked about, you know, the article is called The Impossible Choice. You can also see it on my website. Mm-hmm. But I talked about not being able to find any information and having to commit my son. And the nurse whispered in my ear, "My grandson's just like your son. I'll give you all the information I have." Oh. And it was like I suddenly entered a secret society of ninja moms. And
thought there was somebody.
It shouldn't be that way.
Yeah.
It shouldn't be that way.
It shouldn't.
It's not a secret.
No.
And you know, being a mother of an autistic child, it's, you know, yes, we say we're awesome moms. We are amazing. We're super women, but we're human beings, and moms have such a hard time admitting when they are having a hard time, because society expects us to be this super mom that doesn't do anything wrong, and other moms judge you the hardest.
I'm glad that you are doing what you're doing and trying to bring awareness to just how hard it is to be a mom. And the extra judgment is unnecessary, unwarranted, unneeded. Like, you can have an opinion, but you don't always have to say it.
Oh no. People are entitled to their own opinion, but don't come for me. I'm right here with you. I see you. So that's why I created this platform, Mental Health Awareness. I'm a veteran with PTSD. I still have nightmares and whatnot, and I learned to cope with them. I employ the Check It, Change It method. I've made strides. I want to destigmatize the idea that going to therapy is a bad thing. Going to therapy is a fantastic thing. It's like going to the doctor for an illness you know you have.
You're still going to a doctor or a mental health like you're going to somebody who's qualified to help you.
Exactly.
I agree.
I don't see anything wrong with it, and I highly recommend it. You know, by the time you get to age 38 like me, you know, you are battle-torn and war-torn by life. Yeah. Life does its damnedest to, you know, life will knock you down over and over again just to test your mettle.
Yeah.
You know, and no one gets out of it alive. Sorry to say.
No, everybody has something to deal with. Nobody gets through life unscathed. Are you kidding me? What kind of life would that be?
Because it's like exercising. Your muscles hurt. They're crying. You're sweating. Mm-hmm. It's miserable sometimes.
Yeah.
But that sweet feeling when you've gone that one more mile than 5 more minutes, that victory is way better than anything life can throw at you. But you know, by the time you hit 38, 40, you're bound to have some battle scars. Go see a therapist. It'll change your life.
I agree. I love mine. She's great. She helps me out.
After divorcing my daughter's dad,
I don't regret it.
I regret nothing. After divorcing my daughter's dad, I went to see a therapist because I knew I wasn't okay. Mm-hmm. I needed to heal. That man put me through the most. So I knew I needed to heal to be the best version of myself. And I did. So when I met Rob, it was like I was finally able to give him the best version of me. I could love openly and honestly like I'd never been hurt, and I don't regret it for a second. It has been the best relationship I've ever had in my life. This man is the love of my life, and he has, I mean, in the beginning of our relationship, we got together in February. Well, we met in February. And then we were officially in March. We got into the accident that November. Mm-hmm. And can you imagine that short amount of time this man stayed with me through everything. You know, he picked me up. He helped me toilet. And we hadn't been together that long.
Right. It hadn't even been a year.
Yeah. But, you know, he told me he's like, he said he's never felt like this about anybody. I'm the love of his life, too.
Good. I'm glad that you guys have each other.
Yeah. But I wouldn't have been able to trust him or do any of that if I hadn't gone to therapy and taken care of the hurts from the previous relationship. You know? It's hard, especially with the military stuff, the divorce stuff. I have a lot of things to work through, and I still am working through some things.
Thank you all so much for listening. Please go and support Jalene's show and check out her website. I've included a link to it in my episode notes. She is pretty unfiltered and honest about her experiences, which I admire so much because I am not always like that. So perhaps in some aspects of my life, I need to take a few notes from Jalene. As always, if you have a particular case you're interested in, please reach out to Mask of Sanity on any of the social medias or shoot me an email at maskofsanitythepodcast@gmail.com. Thank you so much to everyone who is an active Patreon supporter. It means so much to me that you've chosen to be a monthly supporter of my show. If you're interested in supporting Mask of Sanity and don't want to commit to a Patreon subscription, I also have my merch store and one-time donations through my Ko-fi account. Those links are available in the Linktree link in any of my social media accounts as well as in the episode notes. And if you don't want to support financially, which I totally understand, 5-star ratings and reviews are always welcome and very appreciated if you want to show your support that way. Please stick around after the show for the trailer for Dark Valley Podcast. This show was created by my friend Elsbeth and her husband Mark and is a sci-fi and fantasy anthology show that aims to transport listeners to a world outside of their own. It's so well done, and I've loved every episode that I've listened to so far, and I'm also very excited to be lending my vocal talents to one of their upcoming episodes. So make sure you rate, review, and subscribe to the Dark Valley Podcast wherever you listen. Thank you all so much for listening and sticking with me, and I hope you'll join me for my next regular episode out on June 30th. Until next time, stay safe, friends.
We invite you to join us in the space where the shadows play and the inexplicable lives. Where a hotel room is anything but.
We should stop and get some rest. We both need it badly.
This has got to be one of the strangest places for a hotel I've ever seen.
Where a supernatural entity watches your every move.
Help! I need help!
What's wrong?
I'm being stalked. There's a man outside my house.
Where anything can happen and nothing is as it appears. We hope to see you in Dark Valley.
To learn more about our show, please visit darkvalleypod.com.